Hi, I'm Julie Wilkinson, and I'm a chartered management accountant, and I'm excited to be launching the Build and Exit podcast. This podcast is for business owners and entrepreneurs who are looking to expand their business portfolio by acquisition, or at some point in the future, want to exit their business. We're going to bring real life stories and experiences of people who have grown by acquisition, who have exited their businesses, and other areas of business such as funding and cash flows. So there'll be lots of opportunity to learn different areas of business and how you can, in the end, transition your business from a lifestyle to an asset. So look forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, and welcome to the Build and Exit podcast. I'm Julie Wilkinson, and I'm the owner and founder of Wilkinson Accounting Solutions. And I started the Build and Exit off the back of the work we do in my firm, because we ultimately help people buy and sell businesses. And I saw there was a need in the market for entrepreneurs to have financial support when it comes to running their businesses and buying businesses. So I'm really pleased today to have Della Kirkman with me. Hi, Della.
Hey, Julie. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Thank you. I love this story. So Della is now a retired entrepreneur after successfully selling two businesses. And what's really interesting about this topic is it goes a bit against the grain, i.e. all the big boys out there saying we sort of have to buy multi-million pound businesses and don't buy a job. Della actually went down the other route and did actively decide to buy a job, which is going to explain why, and has now successfully managed to retire and create her own wealth through that journey. So Della, I just first of all want to hand over to you so you could just tell us briefly a bit about your journey and why you came on the podcast.
Yeah, so Julie, thank you so much for making this leap across the pond, because I'm in the States and it's super early in the morning here, but I've been looking forward to this for a while. So, I'm Della K, your friendly neighborhood CPA, and I'm on a mission to help create 10,000 female acquisition entrepreneurs, because buying a small business is the best way into entrepreneurial success. But as you said, all the big boys are pounding their chests and hollering about buying a multi-bazillion dollar business, you know, go big or stay home. And I found, you know, I went from literally being a waitress at Cracker Barrel, which you guys probably don't have over there, but it's just kind of down-home country cooking, and you always ask if you want biscuits or cornbread, you know, with your meal. But I went from being a waitress at Cracker Barrel to financial freedom because I bought a small, even tiny business. I bought a job and grew that organically and was able to exit that and completely change my life. And I just couldn't have made that leap from a waitress to a bazillion-dollar business. So this is what works for me, and I think it could work for a lot of other people too.
Yeah, and I really like that, because I think it's really powerful, because there is a lot of, I mean, I speak to a lot of acquisition who might phone me and say, oh, I'm on this course, and it is quite ego-driven a lot of the time. They might not say it on the course, but behind closed doors, I've had people say to me that it is quite ego-driven. They're sort of, they feel a bit pressured to buy massive deals with high assets so they can get no money down deals. But what's actually interesting is I know you mentioned to me that you still did no money down deals, even though you bought a small business. So maybe we start at the beginning with the first business, which I think was the tax practice, wasn't it?
That's right. Yep.
So just explain sort of like how you came across the tax, like what made you decide to do it and how you sort of came across that business.
Well, I'll try and tell the intro part of this in a short version. But like I said, I was waiting tables. I'd been waiting tables for a super long time. And my youngest daughter was going to be in school all day. And so I thought, okay, I probably need to get a real job again. Although waiting tables was perfect for what we needed at that point in time. But I, you know, looked around at all the cool jobs. They required either an MBA, which I didn't have, or a CPA, which you guys, I think, use chartered public accounts. We use certified. And so I just thought, I'm a great test taker. I'll take a test and become a CPA. A little bit harder than that, but that is actually what I ended up doing. And so in the meantime, I was looking for some place to get some accounting and tax experience. I found this little tiny practice in my town, and they hired me to do drop-offs, which is basically just sit in the back room and do data entry. And I didn't really have to know a whole lot, thank goodness, because I did not know taxes. But a very short period of time later, I became a CPA, and I ended up buying that practice from the gentleman that owned it and hired me as an employee.
Yeah. So you, I mean, obviously you've done a lot of work to get into that industry, but ultimately you've decided to change career and gone in there. So then when you bought the practice, how did that deal structure look like?
So it was pretty interesting, because this was an older gentleman with a lot of health issues. And the very first day that he hired me, he went to a doctor's appointment at lunch. And it was winter here. Lots of everything's covered in ice. And he fell in the parking lot of his doctor's office, shattered his hip into a million pieces, and never came back that whole tax season. So he had a really small team and we just all pulled together and managed to save his business for him because that's kind of what it came down to. And so when he came back in the spring, I said, you know, hey, I have no idea how I would make this happen, but I would love to buy your business. Because this all happened in a very short period of time. And I was still, you know, working at the practice and studying for my CPA exams and waiting tables. And I had mentioned to him that I'd be interested in buying, but no idea how I would make that happen. And he was entertaining some offers from a larger regional practice. But, and this is kind of a surprising point because the buyers and sellers often end up being motivated by way more than cash. They always say they want a pile of cash, you know, when they're selling a business. But this gentleman had an opportunity to take that pile of cash from this larger CPA firm, but he didn't think they would be a good fit for his small town clients. And so we ended up coming up with a deal where another gentleman and I that were in the same building and he had another tax practice, he and I bought Ralph's practice together because they were sharing a lot of overhead items. They shared office space, phone numbers, fax lines, all of those good things. But my guy, the guy that we bought the business from, was the primary person in that relationship. So he had control over all those things. And when his business was about to be sold, the other gentleman that ended up being my buying partner was going to lose control of the phone number, the fax line, the office space. So he was motivated to buy the business not for money or cash or growth, but because he just wanted control of those things. So his name was Doug, and he originally approached me and asked me if he bought Ralph's practice, if I would run it for him as an employee. And I said, love the concept. I would love to help you with that, but I don't want to be an employee. I want to be an owner too. But again, I said, you know, I've got two little kids. I've been waiting tables, you know, divorce, all those good things. I said, I don't even know. My credit's probably terrible. I don't have any cash, so I don't know how I can help you. But we had been working together. He knew I was good with the clients. He knew, you know, that I was a hard worker and wanting to learn. So he ended up coming back to me and he offered me 49% equity in that business in exchange for running it on a day-to-day basis. No money out of my pocket at all.
Yeah. And then later you actually ended up buying out that partner. Is that correct?
I did. So my partner put $10,000 out of his pocket down to pay for, you know, the computers and the office furniture and those kinds of things. But all of the payments for the business itself came out of the business and it was based on clients that we had bought and that were paying us. So it was an earnout situation. So every month we wrote the seller a check based on whatever revenue we had brought in from his clients. And that was a 5-year deal that we had set up. So it was 20% a year. I'm not sure about over there, but over here, that's a common way to value tax practices is based on revenue as opposed to seller's discretionary earnings or cash flow or whatever. So we were in the middle of that 5-year buyout program. And then it came to a point where, you know, because I was still pretty new at this, but it came to a point where my business partner was no longer checking some of our more difficult returns because we didn't need that anymore. And so I thought, hey, if he's not, you know, checking our returns and we don't really need him, we might as well buy him out. And so I bought him out as well. That was a 2-year payment plan, and the 2-year payment plan and the 5-year payment plan ended about the same time. So within 5 years, I had a cash generating asset that was free and clear and all mine.
And then you went on to sell that practice.
I did. I ran that practice for a few more years on my own and grew the team and grew the practice. And everybody suffered during COVID and American tax practices were right there with everybody else. And it just got to a point where I needed to either go big or go home with this particular practice. And, you know, a lot of frustrations during that time. And so I thought, I'll just try and sell it and see what happens. And it sold very quickly. And I actually sold it with 90% down and only a 10% earnout. And so I sold the opposite way of purchasing, which is ideal, you know, buy low, sell high. And so I took that opportunity and took advantage of that. And it worked out super well for me.
So then you went on to buy a pizza pub after the tax practice.
Yeah, so actually they were concurrent. So a couple years into the tax practice, my boyfriend was it was mostly my boyfriend for the pizza pub. But yeah, we bought the pizza pub at the same time that we had the tax practice. And you'd be surprised at how many tax clients I picked up at the pub. But I literally would do taxes and bookkeeping all day. And then I'd head to the pub most evenings and you know, wait tables and pour beers. And of course, I was doing the payroll and the bookkeeping and the taxes for the pub as well.
Yeah. So you did that. And did you sell those close together? Because you sold both the pub. In the end, you sold the pub and the practice, didn't you? Did that happen?
We did end up. So that was probably, Yeah, it was a couple years. I think I sold the practice. We sold the pizza pub first. And so that was a situation where we were not even in it for the money, although we did have it set up to make a very good profit. But it was an old, iconic pub in, you know, a part of town that we enjoyed. And running a pub is a really hard business. And the lady that we bought it from had run it on her own for a couple of decades. And she was just kind of done, which is how people get after they've run a pub for a while. They're just done. And so we got a pretty good deal on that. But we just cleaned it up and fixed it up. And we tore down a bunch of properties next to it and put a great big outdoor dining area. And we really just wanted to revitalize that iconic piece of, you know, our town. And so we ended up selling that in exchange for a privacy fence job.
Yeah.
To talk about no money down deal. That's probably the most creative deal that I've come up with. That, and that was all Mark. That was Mark's idea.
So just explain in a bit more detail then. How did it work?
Yeah. So this was actually another employee type situation. So there was a woman that had worked for us a short while ago. And when she found out we were selling the pub, she was interested in buying it. But again, she didn't have any credit or cash to make what people call it, you know, a traditional purchase. But her boyfriend had a privacy fence company where he installed privacy fences in people's homes or for people's homes. And so what we did is we found them a nice size privacy fence job. It was worth about $10,000. And they did the work, and the money from their client came directly into our pockets to serve as the down payment on that business. We kept the real estate and the liquor license, which are the big expensive parts of that deal, and broke it down into parts and sold them the parts that they could afford in exchange for that privacy fence job. So then they made us monthly payments for the rest of that acquisition price, and we rented them the real estate and kept the liquor license and let them use that. So they were able to become acquisition entrepreneurs because we made it super easy for them, and we kept the building and received the rental income from that as well. So everybody got what they wanted.
So then what happened eventually? I mean, do you still own that building, liquor license, or did eventually you get rid of the whole lot?
No, so they're still paying on the business, but we sold that note with them and the liquor license and the building to some developers in that area. So we, made another nice chunk of change on the way out of that as well.
Yeah. So it's really interesting, isn't it? Because you've effectively decided you didn't want to wait tables anymore. What changed career effectively and then went into a new business and then sort of took the, I suppose you could call it, you know, took the initiative to then sort of say you wanted to become the owner of this business. And then from there, that's obviously opened up lots of doors, isn't it? Probably partly through, do you think, through confidence as well as ability? Would you say that's fair? Do you think it helped your confidence doing it that way?
Oh, absolutely. So I wasn't sure how originally, but, I come from a very entrepreneurial family, and most of my even jobs have been more entrepreneurial than most because most of my jobs have been based on tips. I mean, over here in the States, waitresses get paid almost nothing per hour. And so all of our income comes from tips, which means you get paid based on, your performance to each individual client. So it's not like having a steady paycheck or salary. I've sold real estate for commission. So a lot of those things have been more entrepreneurial. And when I decided to become a CPA, I wasn't sure how, but I knew that was going to be kind of my catapult into true entrepreneurship. And I wasn't sure how I was going to make that happen, but I knew that would be it. And so I became an expert on small businesses as well by doing the tax and bookkeeping work. So yeah, it definitely helped.
Yeah. And then obviously then catapulted into another business, which you then sold both. So once you sold both the companies then, what made you not buy a third company?
Well, first, I needed a break for one thing. So I've been on break for a couple of years, and I really just spent the last couple of years spreading the love for acquisition entrepreneurship. And of course, I'm creating, you know, a process for that and some products for that. And I have lots of free resources on my website as well. But I feel like I have all of this knowledge and a really way to help so many other people. And I need to get that out of my head and out into the world. And then my daughter and I will be looking for another business to buy here soon. And I'm casually, very casually looking right now as well, maybe even for another tax practice. But that's definitely on my list. I need to get this information out of my head and onto a things to share with the world. And then I'll be back into buying businesses.
Yeah, no, well, I know you're not in the US so much, but I buy accounting practices here in the UK. We're going through one. We did one last year, and we're doing one this year in 2024 as well. We've got one hopefully that's just on head to term soon. So that's quite exciting. But I just love your story, Della, because I just love the fact that you've kind of found what works for you. I do think too many people are kind of being pressurized down a route that maybe doesn't always fit for them. And I see it because we work on so many acquisitions. I mean, I think we've got 4 or 5 acquisitions on the go at the minute. And we see all different sizes, sort of from people buying maybe 300,000-400,000 all the way up to sort of probably 15 to 20 million. It's that's sort of like the range we work at, because we work in more on the smaller sure. SME market. And I think people, there's often a lot of courses that are teaching people, oh, how to find the deals, maybe how to negotiate, how to get like the no money down deals. But the problem is that then they've got this business now and they're like, oh my God, day one, how do I run this business? Because you know, they haven't necessarily been taught the skill set of running that business after the acquisition. So I do a few finance courses more on how to understand like in the UK law, you know, how to understand the UK accounting and become become a bit more financially literate for business owners.
Yeah, I have a great talk that I do myself on reading financial statements, and I call it What the Hell is a P&L? Because most business owners have no idea, you know, what their financial statements are all about.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. And obviously we don't typically work in the US ourselves. We've worked with about 11 or 15 countries, and we sort of work more with people overseas sort of coming into the UK, which is pretty interesting. There's a lot of that going on, a lot of like overseas investors sort of looking at buying UK businesses for their supply chain and things like that. So it's just really interesting. But I do like the fact that you kind of, you know, doing your own thing, really built what works for you. So I think it's really inspirational to see how you've gone from sort of where you were in the waiting tables to buying the businesses.
Yeah, thank you.
And I suppose not just for women, but for women and for, I suppose I call it maybe corporate or employee to acquisition entrepreneur. What do you think is the top tip? What would be your top tip for someone if someone was thinking about maybe transitioning from working in a business, that, you know, being an employee, to then actually buying something or doing something for themselves? What's the tip you would give them?
Well, the first place to start is really to get to know yourself. And that sounds kind of cheesy for two accounts to be talking about, you know, something touchy-feely like getting to know yourself. But, you know, make a list of, you know, figure out what your net worth is, figure out what your credit score is. And I'm not sure if you guys, I'm sure you have something similar to a credit score over there. You know, figure out what resources you may have available to you as far as cash. Do you have, you know, retirement money that you might be able to use? Do you have savings account that you might be able to use? And then even go beyond that and make a list of all of your skills. You know, what are you really good at? More importantly, what do you really like to do? And absolutely make a list of the things that you don't like to do. Then take a look at your actual family situation and obligations and determine the exact type of business that would fit your lifestyle. You know, for example, if you have young kids that you want to drag to work, you know, once in a while, probably buying a pub isn't going to be a great idea, or a nightclub, because that's just not going to work. So make a list of the things that you're good at, make a list of the things that you want to do and your situation and resources, and then start to find a business that needs exactly what you have to offer.
Yeah. And is that what you did when you first went into the CPA? Did you have a list of what you did? You do that back then, or did you kind of wing it? Or did you kind of wing it then?
I was winging it back then. That's part of why I want to develop this program, is because I pretty much bought this business by accident, and I had no idea, you know, how impactful it would be on my life and my children's lives. And so now that's why I want to set everything out in a more specified steps so that I can help other people.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Della, for coming on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. I appreciate you.
And I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. If you love our episodes, do hit the subscribe or leave a rating and review, because it helps more people find our channel. And I'll see you again soon.
All right, thanks, Julie.
So once again, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our podcast. I hope you found it useful. If you think there's anyone else in your network that might benefit from our podcast, then please share it with them. Either just click the link and send it to them, or send it in a Facebook group or other social media channel. Don't forget to subscribe so other podcasts come to you directly as and when we launch them. So I'm really looking forward to seeing you next time. We've got some really exciting things coming up, and we'll see you again soon.